At the table of grace, the cup's never empty. The plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You're welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where He dines with you and you with Him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. At our last gathering of the table, we saw and rejoiced in and proclaimed that we are one with our Heavenly Father through our union in His Son, Christ Jesus. We also saw that not only are we individually one with the Father, but that simultaneously we are one with His whole family in heaven and earth. We understood that this union of all the brethren in the Father and the Son is eternal life. We noted that invisible life forms are seen physically in their expressions. For example, the life in a fish is expressed and seen in its natural ability to live and swim in water, and its inherent inability to live and function on land. We therefore saw that, like all life forms, eternal life finds his expression in what he does naturally and what he is inherently incapable of doing. And we heard our Lord Jesus say that the otherwise invisible eternal life in us is seen physically by all men as we love one another as he loved us. We also heard him say that as the world sees this selfless and sacrificial love in the family of God, they would acknowledge that of a truth, our Lord Jesus was sent by his Father from heaven. We concluded our meal by saying that love is the fruit of the life of God in us, the fruit of the Christ in us, for God is love. Today, we will continue with our curse to lay hold of the life eternal in us. Our first curse is served from John chapter 5, verse 26. For even as the Father has life in himself, so he gave also to the Son to have life in himself. The Son of the Father has life in himself, even as his Father does. John the Baptist stated and expounded on this in John chapter 1 verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Baptist affirmed that in our Lord Jesus Christ was life. And in addition, he said that the life was the light of men, thereby revealing that the life functions as the light within us. Our Lord Jesus also said as much in John chapter 8 verse 12. Then Jesus spoke again to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He made three definite statements. 1. He is the light of men. 2. His followers shall not walk in spiritual darkness. 3. His disciples shall have as their inward guide the illumination that comes from life. In other words, the light of the life of God in us orders our conduct. Now, what did our Lord Jesus mean by saying his disciples shall not walk in darkness? Why would we not walk inwardly in darkness? Put otherwise, why would we not be characterized by the unfruitful works of darkness? we will get the true response to our question by seeing the root of our being, as is written in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Apostle John wrote that God is absolutely pure light. He is holy light. This is reaffirmed in James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Apostle James wrote that God is the source of light, and he also wrote that our Heavenly Father is light such that there is no change in his intensity. He does not go dim for a moment. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We continue in our quest to understand why we will not walk in darkness with the words of our Lord Jesus written in John chapter 12 verse 44. But Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes on me does not believe on me, but on him who sent me." He said when we believe in him, in reality we believe in God. And he also said in the opening segment of John chapter 12 verse 36, "As long as you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light." Our Lord Jesus reaffirmed that he is the light of men. And he added that when we believed in him, we became the children of light. His apostle re-echoed and expounded this truth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." The Apostle Paul wrote that all of us who are born of light are the children of light. He added that we are the children of the day. In other words, we dwell in the kingdom of light. And he concluded by writing that we neither dwell in the kingdom of darkness, nor are we born of darkness. Glory to God. The Apostle reaffirms our transformation in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The Apostle Paul wrote that we were inherently darkness prior to being born of God. The very essence of our being was darkness. Our God and Father be praised. He did not stop there. He continued by writing that in our union in our Lord Christ, we are now light. Our very nature is now light. Little wonder that we are now light, for our Heavenly Father is light. As our Father is, so are we his children. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And the Apostle concluded by exhorting us to walk as children of light. His exhortation is evidently in harmony with our Lord Jesus' declaration that we shall not walk in darkness, but that we shall walk in the light of the life of God in us. Okay, someone says, we do not walk in darkness because we are now light in the Lord. How then do I walk as a child of light? Do we walk as the children of light by choosing not to partake of the unfruitful works of darkness and thereby walk in the light? Do we walk as the children of light by choosing to avoid evil and instead choose to do good as in that tree of dual knowledge that was in the garden? Or do we walk as children of the day and not children of the night by keeping the moral laws of God written in the law of Moses? Or do you, like the Apostle Paul, resolve to do that which is good and recurrently end up doing the evil you would not? These four identical questions, which reflect four dispensations, have common to them an exercise of our wills as a pathway to walking in light. In other words, they imply that we walk as children of light primarily by choosing to. And we may crystallize these four questions by asking, does a baby fish, a fry, function in the light of its fish nature by choosing water rather than land? The obvious answer is no. It lives and swims in water as a fry because its very nature is fish. The life of fish in it is the light by which it walks by. So we see that being the children of light, it is as natural for us to walk in the light of the life of our Father in us, even as it is for a fry to swim in water, because of the life of fish in it. Going further, we know that growth to maturity characterizes every life form. In the natural, every healthy baby born into this world has the inherent potential to walk as his parents do. However, he must grow to maturity before the potential of the biological human life in him can be fully maximized. For example, it is by reason of growth and practice that an infant begins to walk and is able to run eventually. And even at that, the distance he is capable of covering increases as he grows to the full stature of man. So as the children of light, we must grow to maturity for the life of our Heavenly Father in us to be fully expressed. This non-negotiable growth as a pathway to walking as the children of day is revealed to us in the following six examples. 1. The nation of Israel prefigured the church of Christ. It is written in Exodus 23 verse 30 that you will grow little by little into the fullness of her inheritance. 2. It is written in Luke chapter 2 verse 52 that our Lord Jesus not only grew physically, but he also grew spiritually. 3. In his fundamental teaching, which is a parable of the sower, our Lord Jesus revealed that of a necessity, the seed of God, the word of the kingdom, planted in our hearts, must grow before it comes to fruitfulness in the process of time. 4. The Apostle Paul exhorted us in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 to crave the pure milk of the word of life that we may grow thereby. 5. In 1 John chapter 2 verses 12 to 14, the Apostle John revealed the three distinct growth stages of the child of God as little children, fathers, and young men. 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11, the Apostle Paul revealed that he, through understanding, grew from a child to a mature man in Christ. This growth process is otherwise known in the scriptures as fruit bearing, or overcoming, or being sanctified, or possessing our inheritance. So we can see from this that the consistency and proficiency of our spiritual work is determined by our growth to maturity. In other words, it is as we grow up in all into our Lord Christ that we will be able to walk even as He walked, that we would walk as the children of light indeed. Now, what does this walk in the light of life look like? What is it like practically to walk as the children of light? The Apostle John wrote to us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, saying, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." The apostle wrote that whosoever does not love his brother is walking in darkness. And he also wrote that conversely, to walk in the light is to walk in love. The one who walks in love has the light of life in him, and so he shall not walk in the darkness of this world. This ability to walk in love is inherent in every child of God, as is written in the Apostle's exhortation to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Be you therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell." The contemporary English version reads, "Do as God does. After all, you are his dear children. Let love be your guide. Christ loved us and offered his life for us as a sacrifice that pleases God." The growth process of a child includes imitating his parents. The Apostle Paul therefore exhorts us as God's children to imitate our Heavenly Father, and God is love. He specified how we ought to love one another as being how our Lord Christ loved us and laid down his life for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for fragrant incense. However, there is the other side of the coin to walking as the children of light. For us to see the other side, we would again have to begin by going back to the spring of our being. We begin with seeing our God and Father so that we may see who we are as his children. For as our Heavenly Father is, so are we his children. Our Lord Jesus spoke these words to his Father, written in John chapter 17, verse 25. "O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me." He addressed his Father as being righteous. We know that our Heavenly Father is love. We also know that he is light, and we know that he is righteous. The apostle of our Lord Jesus exhorts us thus in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness has been born of him." The apostle John wrote that the evidence that we are born of God is that our deeds are righteous. Again, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, the apostle gives us in clear terms why it is imperative that the deeds of anyone born of God are righteous. Everyone who has been born of God does not commit sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. The apostle wrote that the child of God has the seed of God in him. And we know that the life that is in God is in his seed, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we do not sin because of the inherent righteous nature of God birthed in us through his seed. And he added for emphasis that the child of God cannot sin simply because he is born of God. This direct relationship between deeds and paternity may be likened to the fact that the life of cat in a kitten is expressed in that it does not wallow in filth, and that the kitten cannot revel in dung because it is not a pig, but it is born of a cat. Going further, the apostle wrote in 1 John chapter 3 verse 10, "Here is a clear difference between God's children and the devil's children. Those who do not do what is right or do not love others are not God's children." The apostle John wrote that the unambiguous line of distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil is that the deeds of everyone that is born of God are righteous, and also that every child of God inherently loves the brethren. In other words, to walk as the children of light is not only to walk in love, but also for our deeds to be righteous. For our Heavenly Father is love, and he is righteous. At this point, someone at the table may be saying, "If I cannot sin because I am born of God, why then do I still struggle with sin? Why do I struggle for my deeds to be unconsciously and consistently righteous?" Dearly beloved saints, the critical clue to the response to your question is in the word struggle used by you. The fact that you struggle to sin is a proof positive. It is a conclusive evidence that you are a child of God in truth. Your struggling to sin may be likened to saying that a fish struggles to live on land. Life on land is inconsistent with the nature of fish. So if it is a fish, it must struggle on land. Similarly, the righteous nature of God in everyone born of him is as opposed to sin as the life in a fish is opposed to land. Suffice it to say for now that just like every fish struggles to live on land, so does a child of God struggle to sin until Christ is fully formed in him. We would take a break in our journey of life eternal and go home with this part from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comments and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161. 0817-955-9161 or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com. thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, oh yes, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper.